Welcome to Blooming Profits, a podcast by YouTuber Bear Flower Farm, where we talk about all topics related to running a profitable and sustainable flower farm. I'm your host, Jessie, and in each episode, we'll be joined by fellow flower farmers who are eager to share their insights, experiences, and tips for success. All of our interviews are recorded for YouTube, and we encourage you to check out the Bear Flower Farm YouTube channel for visuals and even more beneficial content. You can find the link in the show notes. We've got Robin on the show today. Robin is going to talk about all things pop-ups, which has seemed to be one of her main sales outlets throughout this winter season as she's selling her winter forest tulips. Robin, I'd love to turn it over to you for you to tell everyone a little bit about yourself, where you're located, and why you started flower farming.
Well, thank you, Jesse. I'm so happy to be here. I am in central Massachusetts in a little town called West Brookfield, which is about halfway between Worcester and Northampton, sort of about equidistant from Boston and Hartford as well. So they're kind of not really a major urban area. We're probably about an hour to a major urban area. I've been growing flowers and veggies my whole life. My grandparents were gardeners. My dad's parents, I used to go up there when I was a kid and see my grandfather would plant pansies and save the seeds, and he would plant them in six packs and bring them to his office and sell them. And my grandmother always had flowers on the table. It's sort of one of these things, you part of their life, and then you become an adult and you're like, huh, I think I'd like to have some flowers. And then I would try to buy them and be, whoa, that's like, I don't want to spend that much money on flowers. So I started to grow them myself. And a few years ago, I was buying tulips for my yard. I had the opposite problem of a lot of home gardeners don't ever want to cut their flowers because they're like, oh, they look so pretty. Like, I don't want to cut them. And I want to cut everything. Everything I see outside, I cut it and bring it in. And then I thought, I need to grow more and start selling these because I want to cut them all. And I know everyone else likes them too. So I thought, I'm going to get like 1,000 tulips. Wow, I'm going to plant them. And I had these really big raised beds that are cement blocks, 20 inches high by like 3 feet by like 18 feet. I'm going to fill a whole bed with tulips and I'm going to try to sell them for Mother's Day. Like, this is my great plan to make money. I just had really, really good luck. I picked good tulips. I picked some impression series, the nice tall ones. And so I sold them all like in 2 days. I just texted everybody I knew. Anyone have flowers for Mother's Day? Flowers for Mother's Day? And they loved them. And I was like, this, I got to keep doing this. This is so fun and joyful and spreading this beauty. And I am probably maybe not the smallest. We have a carriage house, driveway. All of it is about 2/3 of an acre. And I think I calculated it out and I think I'm growing at about 1/16th of an acre in total. Very small. But the tulips you can grow, you don't need a lot of space because especially the indoor ones, you can grow 1,000 tulips at a time in the space of a 6-foot by 3-foot table. And the turnaround is quick too. So you can get a lot done in a little space without waiting 6 months for it to bloom.
So this is why someone who, even though is growing on a smaller scale, can still pump out so many blooms. And right. I guess, Robin, just to give people context for how many tulips you had to sell this winter season, how many did you end up forcing?
I ended up purchasing about 7,000. I ended up tossing maybe 1,500 because of improper storage, which was absolutely my issue.
Easily over like 5,000, like 5,500.
Easy peasy,
right? So that's a lot because you're doing this over like what month did you start getting tulips?
I started getting them to sell in mid-December. And so I sold quite a few before Christmas and I've sold most of what I've grown. I do give away a lot, mostly to people that I just think could use them, or I'll bring them to like my work and give them to some people. And then I started selling them at work, you know, bring a bucket. It's good PR to give out your flowers.
It absolutely is. And I feel like we're already diving right into the topic. So before we dive deep into pop-ups, what would typically be your sales outlets without a pop-up?
Yeah, not so much, Jesse. That's why I do them. it's mostly been retail through porch pickups because I have a covered porch that's north facing. So even in the summer, that works for tulips and other flowers. I would get just text or Facebook messages, like on every single, not on every single post, because I don't want them all salesy, but I put like for all inquiries, like 508. There's my number out there for everybody. A lot of people still like want to ask me for an email, but I am the worst. This is with the ADHD. I have 1,200 unread emails in my inbox every day of my life. I'll never get to them. So I would literally get a knot in my stomach if I had to be checking my email all day long. I gotta get this order up. So that the phone is more immediate and I can be more responsive. And I literally will get an order and then say, hey Siri, remind me Monday morning at 10 a.m. to wrap up tulips for Jesse. And this is how I do it. It's voice on my phone and text. Because if I have to sit and type or go to another step, that's where the way my brain is, I get a little derailed. So
this is why I wanted to have you on the show, because I think what you're doing is going to be very relatable for a bunch of people out there who are either not tech savvy, don't want to deal with email, or haven't had the ability to put up a website, or just doesn't have the infrastructure to do things, we'll call it the traditional way. And from what I understand, you've really been able to make it work. I mean, you've moved over 5,000 tulips over this season, and you seem to be pretty successful last season too. So let's dive into pop-ups. You started getting into this. Why do you love pop-ups so much?
It's just a simple way to, like, I can see the flowers I have coming, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have like 5 trays ready this weekend. And so I'll just call one of my pop-up people and be like, can I come? And they're usually pretty accommodating. The hardest thing is just getting over your fear of being like, I don't wanna ask somebody to, like, what if they say no? What if? Well, just call them and ask them. The worst thing they can say is like, no, we have no interest. You're like, all right, bye, let me try somebody else. But we have a local farmer here named Farmer Matt. He raises his own meat. And I was looking for some hay or straw to cover my beds in the fall. I was talking to him on the phone. I said, I need to, you know, are they organic? He said, yo, yeah, we don't use pesticides on the grass. And I said, hey, you know, I grow flowers. Like, would you ever, before I even got the sentence out of my mouth, he was like, yeah, you should come up here. Because he has a little barn on this beautiful property. He sells his farm-raised meats and other local products that are expensive, you know? So his customers clearly appreciate the value of a local product and they want to support local agriculture. So he wanted me to come. I came right before Mother's Day. This was last year. And I was like all excited. I got myself a little square card reader that was, I could get it for free from Square, but they get a fee when I use it. Again, I was like, my biggest problem is I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose that little square. What if I lose it? But so I actually have a vest that I wear to every pop-up. Okay. It's my little vest. Actually, I have two. There's a puffy one in the winter. And in the summer, it's a lighter one. Has like one pocket on the right, like from a phone, one pocket on the left. I think I keep my keys, and then has inside pockets, square in one, cash in the other. So I don't have to worry about putting something down. Where am I leaving it? Where am I dropping it? Because the story of my life is, where did I put it? Where is it? Where did I put it? And that square lives in the vest.
I know you're still in the middle of doing more pop-ups for the rest of the season, but how many pop-ups have you done so far this season?
Since January, I've done 11. I did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in January. I'm looking at my list. 5 in January, 4 in February, and 3 in March. And I have one this coming Saturday.
I mean, that's practically one a week almost, right?
Yeah, but one of the best things for me has been our little town, 3,600 people-ish, has an indoor winter farmers market, and it is fantastic because it's Wednesday afternoons and they'll let me come as a guest vendor as a pop-up. I came once and everybody was so happy. I mean, like, hello, you people walk in January and they're like, oh my god, those are gorgeous. And I'm like, I grow them in my basement. What? You do what? I'm like, yeah, you gotta get some. It's so wonderful. It helps with seasonal depression. And the farmer's market is so welcoming. And they put me right in the, when you open the door, I'm the first table, because it's a beautiful way to enter the space, you know? So I went to one and they said, can you come back every week? And I thought, I got a full-time job. It's Wednesday afternoons, but I managed to work. I've got a pretty flexible other job, so I managed every other week.
You've got the farmer's market or indoor one as correct, one pop-up outlet. And how many other businesses do you work with for your other pop-ups?
I have 3 other businesses. One is another, a really specialty upscale coffee shop in our town. It's very small. This woman, Joy Hinton, runs it. She roasts coffee beans from all over the world. It's called The Joy of Beans. She's only open Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, the coffee is expensive, but it's so good. And she's just got a cool vibe. And I asked her if I could come. She's like, sure, come on. And the first time I showed up there, I was like a couple minutes late and I was panting. I'm so sorry. And she's like, calm down. Like, we're all chill here. Like, relax. And so I love spending the day there.
Were you a regular patron of that coffee shop before?
I wouldn't go like sit for hours, like, but I would buy coffee beans from her. And she opened the shop a year ago. And I went in with my, hey, I have flowers. Here are some free flowers. Welcome to town. So she remembered me from that. And next to her is a little art gallery. And my friend Rebecca owns the West Brookfield Art and Frame Gallery. And she would buy flowers for me. And I think she and Joy were friends. So they would, you know, occasionally talk about how great my flowers were. And they were both very supportive. So far, no one's asked for any kind of financial cut because I sit there with them the whole time. It's not like I'm not expecting them to sell them. The other business, which is probably the most lucrative one for me, is a bigger coffee shop in Sturbridge called Sawdust. It's a coffee house and dessert bar. And it's one of these big, bustling places. There's just people in and out, in and out, in and out. I had a friend in my other job who's also a entrepreneur. She had mentioned that this coffee shop lets local vendors in. So I started following them, went in, gave them a bunch of flowers, you know, called a couple weeks later. Hey, you remember the flowers? Do you ever, my friend Jenny said, you do vendors? And he's like, yeah, sure. Come on by. So I went there twice in January and I went there on Valentine's Day. Actually had a double header on Valentine's Day. I had the coffee shop in the morning and then the farmer's market in the afternoon. I think if you just are nice to people and make it as easy for them as possible, they'll let you come. Like if you come and you're like, can I have a better table? Like if you make their job a pain, they're not going to want you back. So just show up, be nice, be self-sufficient. And people are just generally nice, I think so. And who doesn't love flowers? Come on.
So you said there was a third business. So you have two coffee shops so far.
Two coffee shops, the farmer's market, and the other one was the farmer Matt with the meat, with the specialty meats. Last fall, I went with him and I had amaryllis bulbs, potted amaryllis, and I bought a lot of bulbs to plant in the field. And I think I'm going to go back there again because it was one of those moments where I thought, oh God, I got all these bulbs. I'm never going to be able to plant them. Like I want to sell them. I could sell them on the website. Oh, I don't have a website. What am I going to do? If I remember, can I come up? And he's like, sure, come on up. So I set up a table and I had bagged up bulbs just in paper lunch bags with a sticker that said what it was. One thing I did to keep things simple for me again with my wackadoodle brain, everything I sell at the farmer's market, with the exception of Valentine's Day, I did a bigger bouquet. It's $20. All the bulbs were $20. They didn't all have the same quantity. So I was back and forth with selling the bulbs. Like if it's a more expensive bulb, like La Belle Epoque, I would put 10 bulbs in the bag for $20. If it was something less expensive, I don't know, Akebono, I would put 15 bulbs in the bag. But the value of the bag was the same. I know that's a little unusual when you see online that everything's like comes in 10 or 12. But for me and my own ability to manage it, I wanted everything on my table to be $20.
For your bouquets that you sell at the pop-ups, are you also selling them at a singular price point? And what is that?
$20 is what I do. I do 8 stem tulips. I have not done a pop-up with other bouquets than tulips because the only pop-ups I did last year were tulips in May. And then the other ones I did the bagged bulbs and I did potted amaryllis. And those were $40. But I had been promoting them on my Facebook page. I got some traction from a few people in town. And I've realized that most of the followers of my Facebook page are local. I think it's pretty common that your customers are on Facebook and your fans are on Instagram. When I mention my pop-ups on Facebook, people tell me they saw it. And I ask them, I mean, if you're at a pop-up and someone finds you, like, hey, did you know about this ahead of time? Or are you just walking in? Just so you can get a feel for who has seen what you post. And I've definitely had people at these pop-ups show up to the coffee shop, show up to the farmer, show up to the farmer's market just to get my stuff. So I feel like I've earned my keep a little bit.
So you're also helping drive that extra traffic, which is awesome.
Right.
Outside of posting on your Facebook page, do you do any other kind of marketing or it's really just focused on your Facebook? Facebook page?
I really don't. I'm sure I could.
One of my issues last time when I did a pop-up for Galentine's Day, so this was the weekend before Valentine's Day, was I actually ran an ad on Facebook, a local ad, and it got a lot of interest. And the problem was I didn't know how many of those people who said they were interested were actually going to come into the shop. How do you know how much to bring to a pop-up? You usually sell out. Are you coming back home with buckets?
That is like a million-dollar question, really. To even back up more, like I said, the reason I started doing pop-ups is because I'm like, oh my God, I got all these tulips. I got to sell them somewhere. So the first few, I just brought everything I had. And this first market I did last May at the Farmer Matt's, I think I had 12 bouquets total. I sold 9, so I was excited about that. I knew I get maybe 2 or 3 inquiries a week from just the people like, hey, can I get a bouquet wrapped up for a porch pickup? And I also have a couple of customers who are regular. I have another wonderful customer who I do 2 deliveries for every month that are a couple of bouquets. So I know I gotta save some for those orders. Other than keeping back, maybe I'll keep back 10 bouquets worth if I have them to keep. And everything else I bring with me. I'm kind of a hustler. Like yesterday, I was at the coffee house in Sturbridge. I had 37 bouquets. It was the most I've ever had. I was like, all right, let's go. So I stayed there an hour later than I was supposed to. And then while I was there, I was like texting my friend at the Joy of Means, please, 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 can I come tomorrow? She was like, yes. And I'm like, great. So I posted all over that I was going to be there. So, and there was like zero prep because I literally brought the buckets into my cooler next morning. Brought them down the road. And then I had a play rehearsal. You bet I brought those buckets with me to play rehearsal. I'm like, hey, so I have my friends at my rehearsal buying them. Like a little tip for anyone selling flowers, put a Venmo sticker on every bucket you have because everyone looks at them and like, you have Venmo. Bing! And it's done. If the weather is cold, I will just keep buckets of flowers in my car. And like where I go, I'm like, who wants flowers? You want flowers?
Looking for a reliable focal that sells well at farmers markets and can be grown throughout the entire growing season? Consider lilies. But the problem is finding them in affordable small quantities, so I'm here to plug that gap for the smaller scale grower. I'm offering lily bulbs in 25 and 50 unit increments throughout the entire growing season on bareflowerfarm.com, or you can check the show notes for a direct link. Now back to the show.
For someone who doesn't have a dedicated sales outlet, isn't using technology, you really move a lot of flowers. And now I understand it's because you really put in the effort to do it. But I think it's also you getting over yourself, bringing the flowers with you everywhere. And kind of being a walking billboard for flowers.
I am. I mean, I've had every once in a while, I think, oh God, I gotta turn it down. But I brought flowers to my play rehearsals a couple of times. And then, you know, maybe 2 people bought them, 3 people bought them. And then last week, someone's like, why aren't you bringing flowers anymore? I wanted to get some today. I'm like, all right, I'll bring them back. And it's not like I'm like, buy them, but they're there. And I'll go, I have flowers, I'm gonna throw them. And that's it. That's the extent of my marketing at my play rehearsal. It's like the bucket and the yelling. My full-time job, they're supportive. I just texted a bunch of my coworkers last night, Easter flowers, who wants Easter flowers? So I know I've got some people that are picking them up this Thursday. And I asked them all ahead of time. I said, are you okay if I text you about this? I don't want to, if it's going to annoy you, I won't do it.
This is a really good example of this concept of frequency in marketing, needing to blast that message out multiple times. Because I feel like if you just carry your bucket of flowers around once, go to play rehearsal, people may not buy, but you do it a few more times and people start remembering, oh yes, Robin has flowers and I may not need flowers today, but there might be a day down the road where we have play rehearsal and I want flowers and Robin's going to have them, right? So you're kind of like just like a grocery store coming to them with better flowers than grocery stores, obviously.
Yes, but it's like I like that concept.
It's almost like a service in some ways, right? Even though you're obviously not going there just to give them flowers.
Right. And one of my friends from play rehearsal was like, will you do an Easter centerpiece? Heck yeah, I will. Bring me, and he brought me a vase. I'm like, I'll bring it back Thursday full of flowers. And that was, you know, a little higher price point. So, and I also am absolutely unafraid to say no if I can't do it. Because every once in a while, someone will be like, oh, I really want this big bunch of tulips delivered to my friend like an hour away. Like, nope, I wish I could, but I know my limits and I know I'm old enough and just in my general life that I'm pretty good about boundaries and limits and understanding my own capabilities and what are my talents and what are my weaknesses. Nothing's going to motivate me like having a whole bunch of flowers. And I got to be like, I got to get rid of them. I do like the pre-orders. I tell people to pre-order a lot. I don't get a lot of pre-orders.
I mean, you are primarily doing everything through text and messenger, right? Like there's no way for someone to go on a website and pre-order. And I think that
Correct.
might also sometimes be not like a issue, but like a barrier for certain people. At the same time, I feel like you're still doing a lot of business on Facebook, right? With
Facebook
Messenger.
messages. That's like I get a lot of orders through Facebook message. And honestly, I feel like if that's the way I am, like if that's my preferred method of communication, quite frankly, I don't want to read like a page long email. Some people like to write and tell you their life story. Ugh. Like good for them, but I have no patience for that. I'm like, what do you want? When can I bring it? There are other vendors out there who are like, tell me your story. Like they're more into that. That is not me.
You are
Forward thinking.
cut to the chase, and I'm laughing because every single time we go online to try to find a blog recipe, it's like I have to read someone's life story first before I get to the recipe. And it's like, just give me the recipe,
Jump to recipe, like the three best words on a food blog. No offense to food bloggers. I
No,
like the
sorry, go ahead.
I like the immediacy. I suppose that's the best word I can think of, Jesse. The immediacy of pop-ups. Like I booked a couple of weddings this year and I'm looking forward to them. Really, really looking forward to them. They're very straightforward. I think I would actually prefer the like, oh my God, I need something in 3 days. And I'm like, on it. If I have 6 months to plan for something, that's when I'm like, oh my God, it's 6 months away. What do I do? What do I plan? How long will I take? Like that, the planning and the prep gives me a little agita. Like I'm kind of a last minute Larry, and I feel like there's a need for that kind of flowers for the last minute Larry. So if someone says, you know what, I want to elope tomorrow, I'll be like, done. I'll get your stuff like without a lot of fuss and fanfare. Because as much as I am this way as a vendor, as a business person, as the person you're buying from, like I'm kind of that customer too. Like I want it now. Like that's so I appreciate those customers that a lot of florists would be like, buzz off, baby. I don't want your Valentine's order on Valentine's Day. I want it 2 weeks ahead. And I'm like, I'll take your order on Valentine's Day.
The takeaway for people here, I think, is even less so about that there's a group of people out there who are last minute. I'm actually in that category, believe it or not. But I think the greater takeaway is if you know you and you are a certain person, don't try to force fit yourself to other ways, especially if you haven't maximized what you're doing right now. So I think a lot of people might actually look at what you're doing and be like, she's crazy. She's running all around.
Oh,
She's
I'm
leaving at the
sure.
last minute to sell. But the thing is, it works for you. And that's how I think motivates you to sell. And I also feel the same way, where there's no bigger motivation than seeing all of these stems about to blow open and saying to myself, how do I move this? Because like I look at that situation and I'm like, challenge accepted. Yes, like let's get on it. And I think that there are some people who are totally in that camp like that, but they feel paralyzed as to what to do because everyone else is telling them, you've got to set up a system, you've got to have a website, you've got to have pre-orders, everything's got to be deliberate. And I think that over time, as you grow a business, you are forced to think a little bit more deliberately and have those systems in place. But when you're starting out, especially in the first couple of years, I actually don't see there being an issue doing exactly what you're doing because you're learning a lot, you're building connections, and you're moving those stems, which is awesome.
And it's only my second year. I definitely want the website for a couple of reasons. I want to be able to have a place where I can blog, where people could do pre-orders, but I'm going to have a very limited product category. I want to be able to sell bulbs, like hard, dry bulbs via mail.
Let's say that I were someone who is really interested in pop-ups. What kind of advice would you give for me in order to approach a business? What are some of the things that I should be looking for in a pop-up partner? Would you recommend that I go to a place that I frequent, or would you personally even go to a place where you've never really been a customer, but you see potential?
If you go to a place that you frequent, they would know you. So I think that's a good place to start. But if it's a place that you don't frequent, hello, start frequenting it. Or like this other the larger coffee house that I did, I didn't go there a lot because I have a coffee house right down the street. But my daughter told me that it was a really cool place. So that's when I went and I brought them flowers. Like just said, hey, here's a card, here's some flowers, done.
You walk in and you say, hello, I'm Robin. I have a local flower farm. Here's some flowers.
Here's some
Like,
flowers. And I asked,
did they ever look at you and say thank you? Like, why? Or.
no, well, I asked if the owner was there, and they said, no, he's not here today. I said, all right. I said, well, I've seen online that you guys occasionally have local vendors, because they did, and they post them. They put them on their Instagram. And so I said, I see you have vendors sometimes. I just wanted to let you know I'm here as a vendor, and here's some flowers to enjoy. I'll probably reach out to the owner via email later this week. But it was just the person working behind the counter. They were a little bit like, okay. But they took them. And when I did follow up, he was like, oh, yeah, thanks for the flowers. Sure, come by. Can you come by next Sunday? I'm like, great, you know? And he said, well, all of our vendors are here. I like to have them here from 10 to, or like 10 to 3 or whatever it was. And I said, well, I can't stay that long because I got to be somewhere else. I can stay till 1:30. Oh, that'll work. Like, and I think if I was 25 or something, I might be like, oh, I would have been afraid to say like, no, those terms don't work for me. To take something like that, you've got to be here from 10 to 3. It's a spot. Negotiate. You don't need, just because that's their way, like, I wish I could be there from 10 to 3, but I can be there from 10 to 1:30. Will that still work? And sometimes when you haven't done something, the like, oh my God, what if this? What if that? Like, what if he says no? Like, what if he wants this? What if they want money? The things you imagine are far worse than the actual interaction when you have them. Sure, every once in a while somebody's a jerk, but like, so what? They're going to be a jerk whether you're looking for business or not. So you might as well try to look for some business, you know?
That's so awesome because I think besides just going out and approaching businesses, a lot of times there's either imposter syndrome or there is just, I'm afraid of someone rejecting me. And I think that you have to practice getting rejected to get numb to rejection and then ultimately have this fearless approach to just being like, I'm just going to ask because they'll just say no. It's not like anything else will happen.
Or you say, yeah, it's in it, in your word there, a fearless approach. It doesn't mean that you actually are fearless. Part of the imposter syndrome is like you're kind of you do have to fake it a little bit. Like, of course you're a little nervous, but so what? Do it anyway. Like, do it even though you're afraid. Appear fearless, and the confidence will come after. Like, the confidence comes from doing the act that you are so afraid to do. Like, I think in generally in anything in life, like you're like, it's getting started, and then it's about building relationships. I mean, I had a couple of other tips that I wrote down for pop-ups. And number one was to make it as easier for the owner as possible. Like, you know, find out the hours and then say, okay, what do you need from me regarding like logistics? Do they have a table? Do they need you, do they need you to bring a table? Try to suss out like the location. Like, will you be like right in direct sun? But again, if they say, well, our vendors always go here, you'd be like, oh, that's a great spot. My flowers might be a little wilty though. Is there any way we could move it over there? Either yes or no, and then like move on. So you don't want to be afraid to ask for what you need, yet at the same time be like, can I get a table that's 6 inches bigger? Like, the stuff that really matters, speak up about. But the rest of it, they're doing you a favor too to let you use their space. So parking, loading in, loading out. I mean, most of the time, the places I've been, I can pull right up. But this past Saturday, that coffee shop was full, and I swear to God, I made like 10 trips like across the parking lot to my car. I was like, ugh. So maybe I'm like, oh, I could have brought a little wagon, but I thought, is the expense of a wagon worth it? I don't know. But just things to think about, because loading in will always take longer than you think. However you think it's going to take to load in, plan like 10 extra minutes. Access to water and to trash is important, I think. And basic supplies, I think you need some kind of signage. I think it's much better to have a sign like on your table. Everybody in the world who does table setups, they put a big sign like on the front of the table that's like 3 feet tall. Like, nobody's going to see your sign if it's on the front of your table. The minute someone stands there, they can't see your sign. So I think that's a complete waste of money. Again, I know a lot of people do it. I have a sign with my business name in 3 QR codes, one for the Venmo link, one for my Instagram link, one for the Facebook link. And I just actually realized I've had my website set up to in progress for a while, and I thought I should just have the website link there because at least they can put their email in. It's a way to collect emails. So I think I haven't collected emails as efficiently as I should. And I know that will be the key to growing my business is direct email marketing, which I haven't done. So I'm useless as far as telling anyone how to do that. The demographics of the place you're popping up. So I mentioned before that the farm stand and the two coffee shops all are pretty upscale. Farmers market isn't so much upscale, but the people want to support local vendors. And that's great. I did have on Valentine's Day, my double header. I was preparing for that pop-up. I had, I don't know how many bouquets I had. I think I had like 30 maybe in total. When I was making my bouquets for the Valentine's Day and I realized it was going to be over all in one day, I got a little nervous. Like I didn't have enough buckets to hold all of these, so many bouquets. And I thought, oh, how about I do a bouquet bar? Like, let me just do that too. And so on my little sheet, on my little chalkboard, I wrote, just make your own bouquets. The price was the same. I do 8 stems for $20. Baker's dozen, which is 13 stems for $30. So the price per stem is a little lower for the $30 bunch. And I had a handful of the $30 bouquets made up to sell. A few people did buy the $30 bouquets for Valentine's. And a lot of people did the make your own, which was really, really fun. And so if you are somebody who is like, what do I do with the bouquets? Do I make mixed bunches? Do I make straight bunches? Like, I don't know. One of those silly roadblocks that you can have in your own mind, you can just bring them loose. I would assume that if it's one of your first pop-ups, people aren't going to be lining up out the door to get them. So you'd have enough time to greet your customer. And if they say, what do you have? You say, I'll make you a custom bouquet, 8 stems. What do you want? As long you have to bring a little more equipment. You got to bring your scissors, your packing materials, like, so you get more stuff to bring, like supplies, but your work ahead of time isn't as much. So that could be a balance. And I really, really liked doing that because it was kind of fun for me. I'm not one who likes to sit around.
And how do the customers like that? Because that's a totally different experience of coming to a place where I'm picking out a bouquet versus mm-hmm. you're telling me I'm custom making you mm-hmm. a bouquet.
They really, really liked it. I think I had at least 3 customers who said, ooh, I saw that you were doing a make your own bouquet. And so they saw it and it brought them in. And I think I have about 650 Facebook followers. So it's not a huge audience, but enough that 3 people came in specifically because they saw that. And they really, really liked it. I think it felt more special to them. That's what I'm happy to listen to their story. Oh, my mom loves purple and she loves pink. So I would help them. Like, oh, I bet she'd like this. This one opens up really well. And the make your own, I think, suited my personality because I can be like, oh my God, she's going to love this. It's so pretty. I get so excited. And I think that, my customers like that about me is my enthusiasm. So I can get them psyched and I can usually sell a 13 stem bouquet doing that more easily than an 8 stem. So I'm trying to think of my next pop-up this coming Saturday at the farm at Farmer Matt's. I think I'm going to do a handful of pre-made, but mostly make your own.
As the season is progressing and you're doing mm-hmm. more and more pop-ups, are you seeing more traffic to these pop-ups now that people know that you're doing them?
More people have come up to me and said, oh, I saw you were back here. Did that mean I sold more at the end of the day? I don't think so. But people came because they knew I was going to be there.
Do you feel like you have a better handle of how many bouquets or stems you should be bringing to Farmer Matt's pop-up at this point, having done close to a dozen?
Yeah, I would say I'll have enough to bring like 20. I don't think I've sold more than 16 bouquets. And it doesn't sound like that much, but part of it is too, I'm early on in this journey. Like I'm in this for the long haul. Like this is not a fly by night thing for me. I also consider pop-ups marketing, like getting my name out there. The couple of the people asked me if I did arrangements. Yes. Do you do weddings? Maybe. Like, why don't you give me a call? So it's an introduction to me. It's an introduction to my personality. If you think I would be a fit with you for a larger project. And community building. I mean, hello, it's just community building. You're meeting people. I know that's not everyone's cup of tea. A lot of people are really introverted and like to have that safety of the computer. And
the community building piece is really huge mm-hmm. and one that you can't put a price tag on. You said you don't sell more than 16 at a given pop-up. If you clear 15 per pop-up, that's $300. Mm-hmm. You have basically a very consistent, we'll call it sales outlet, without needing to commit like you would for a farmer's market. And you're able to do this on a consistent basis. Like, I feel like you've really figured out how to make winter tulips profitable for you and work with the way that you work. You probably have one of the more untraditional ways of moving flowers, but honestly, I see your way as more relatable to the majority of people out there who want to get into cut flower farming and perhaps don't have the ability to do all of this stuff. So I really love that you figured out a way to move your stems.
Thank you. Yeah. I actually have some final numbers just for pop-ups alone. I have cleared total sales for this year. It's been about $3,400. The bulb cost is a little over $1,300. And I think I average 66 cents a bulb. I'm not 100% sure of that cost, as I haven't done the intense time studies. If my estimate for the bulb cost is correct, and that would include energy and stuff like that, and I approximated, this is super crazy for me, Jesse, I actually think I put about 85 hours into it, which amounts to like $24 an hour. So it's not like a huge amount, and I want to be more profitable. I'd like to be making more per hour than that, and I do invest most of it back into the business. I really appreciate the nudge I had to run some of these numbers. Again, like, I'm taking a business class, but like, knowing I have an interview with somebody, I'm like, I gotta get it done.
That's so funny, because you took Lenny's course, and I assume there's homework with it, but that's a little bit less pressure than
there's
coming
homework
on
with it. And we broke into like pods, accountability pods, and everybody in my pod had a million things going on. So we were keeping up with it. We're sharing certain amounts of it, but not a single one of us did every assignment on time. And we still are talking, and we're like, what are your biggest challenges this week? It's been a cool experience. And so I need the kick in the pants sometimes to get over the things I don't like to do, because that stuff can derail me with the way my brain is, you know.
Are you planning on scaling up next year in terms of how much you're going to grow for tulips?
I am not. I'm not planning on scaling up. I'm pretty comfortable this year where I was. And because I know I had some loss, I want to just be, my goal is to have less attrition. And I feel much more confident about my ability to sell now that I've established a couple of pop-ups. One of the bonuses I will get from getting a website is that email list. And I was listening to the Dirt on Flowers podcast today, and she was saying she considers her pop-ups to be marketing. And when she started her email list, sending that email about where she was popping up, that's when people really started coming specifically for her.
I know that when I did the pop-up stem bar for Galentine's Day, the local business emailed her email list, and it actually drew people out. So even though it was her customers, they would not have come out that day specifically to shop at her store. So the flowers drew them in, obviously a net benefit to me, but also a benefit to her too. Yes. And who would say no to those kind of flowers?
Now, have you done other pop-ups I see occasionally you have ones here and there, but you sell a lot of wholesale, right?
I'm trying to shift more to wholesale for winter tulips. I've really loved the CSA and the pickup. I really am embracing this pre-order piece of it, because it just really takes a lot of stress off of that moving the stems piece of it. I know I said nothing motivates me more than having trays of stems sit there. I think that I really stretched myself this season and grew so many that even though I had pre-committed stems for a CSA, I had pre-committed wholesale orders and was pushing it through that route, I still had a lot of stems. And so I still was at that point where it was like, all right, how do I move these? And I think that I always need some level of uncertainty in that area to really push and motivate me. But next year, I will be expanding just slightly more, not as much as I thought I would be. And to your point, my goal will also be to really minimize that attrition. And I am thinking about just working more with local businesses, whether it's a pop-up or having bouquets consistently there. I know that some of the Tulip Workshop participants have done really well with like local co-ops or grocery stores to sell like a small number of bouquets to them on a weekly basis. And that's like a very steady way of moving stems too.
I mean, the hardest part about pop-ups is the time commitment, because you've got a young child. My children are up and out, so I don't have to take care of them. the day will come. You miss it, but you kind of don't. Freedom! My mom moved in with us a couple of years ago. It's the same time that my son graduated, and she was like, "You thought you'd have an empty nest? Ha ha! I'm moving back." But it's great having her here. I have a lot of hobbies, and I feel like after Easter, I'm gonna like collapse. And I'm hoping to take some of the summer off. It's hard to sell flowers in July because people have their own gardens here. They're not as interested in yours. But I'm gonna do the basics like sunnies and zoanthus and. Like basic things that don't necessarily grow themselves for bouquets. I don't think people grow their own sunflowers for bouquets, or certainly not the nice little pro cuts and stuff. So I think I'm going to, as my business grows, I think I'm going to keep the focus on the winter tulips and try to do the shoulder seasons. Got lilies going now that I started planting a couple of months ago that should be blooming starting in Mother's Day. It's all kind
you
of
you and I are very similar in that regard. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to focus on the parts of the seasons that have less competition and where there is less marketing needed for us to sell flowers, right? Yeah.
And you know, when you're busy all week and I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus, I got to get up at 6 o'clock and make bouquets for this. But the fact that I know it's coming, that I plan it, like I'll think, oh, I'm going to do these 2 weeks in a row, but I cannot deal with three Saturdays. So I'm taking that day off, like having nice relationships with these people. And honestly, the double header was kind of cool. Like the going to two places in one day, because the prep is, there's no more prep. Like you make all these buckets. I'm going to try to see if I can, bigger coffee house in Sturbridge is open. It's a coffee house / wine and dessert bar. So they're open to like 10 p.m. So I'm trying to, I was going to ask if they would possibly let me come at like 2 someday, like 2 o'clock, and I could do one in the morning and one in the evening. So it's a longer day, but it's less prep. You're prepping one time.
Yeah.
I really always enjoy your posts when you talk about efficiency and time studies, because it just makes me think about like, what am I like, how could I be doing this better? How could I save time? And just because we do it because we love it. But at some point, if you're so exhausted and it's no longer fun, then what's the point? Like, what's the point, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So Robin, if people mm-hmm. want to follow your journey, where can they find you?
Well, they can find me on my Instagram page, which is at Blair House Blooms, all one word. And they can find me on my Facebook page, which is Blair House Blooms, 3 separate words. Hopefully a website in the next month.
You have beautiful photos. I think you do a great job.
Oh, thank you. I love taking photographs. I love it. And my background is in art and design. I'm a trained interior designer. So, and I've had jobs in theater and making costumes, and making sets, like just studying like proportion and scale. And I think one of my strengths is in the colors I curate and the arrangements I make in the photographs. So,
I mean, it shows in the photographs. They're always gorgeous. So worth calling Robin just to see her photos, honestly. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you.
But thank you so much, Robin. I really appreciate your generous time on the show.